See, as you know, as the podcast is, the prep is the pain in the ass part. Oh, smoker, see, as you can see, you see the boob, you see the cleavage, as you can see, and stuff. And we had to do a lot of work to get to have it to where all you see is the cleavage, because, you know, this wonderful pod mommy, smoke buddy and everything, you know, since she don't show her face. But then again, I don't think you guys mind. So in this situation, you don't have to worry about us telling you to your eyes up here, sir. No, your eyes are where they need to be. So how you doing?
I'm doing good now that we finally got this figured out. My goodness, what a ordeal.
Skype has its shits, but I've been loyal to it. Well, one, because Zoom, I have to spend money, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Economics 101, spend the least to make the most. There you go.
Yep, I get it. I totally get it.
So, how you been? How's your day been? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been publishing erotica and audiobooks and doing the podcast. So, all that kind of fun stuff.
So, did you partake in the Super Bowl?
I did. Mm-hmm. I went to a friend's party, so it was fun. Yeah, we had lots of good food and had the Super Bowl on. It was fun.
Yeah, I pretty much stayed home anyway. And who was you rooting for?
I don't know. I didn't really have a strong feeling either way, but I enjoyed it. The halftime was really fun. I thought he did an awesome job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed Usher. It was a medley. He didn't spend long on none of them songs except for the last one and the one with Alicia Keys, where she just lost that note at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I was like, she didn't have that earphone won't working.
Yeah, that sucks when you're live like that. That's
got to
suck.
Oh, for sure. So how have the potting been going, darling?
Good. Going good. Lots of different things. It's always fun to try different things, and I don't ever get tired of it. And I love talking to people and finding out what they do. And so, you know, that's always just a lot of fun. As you know, because you do it.
Of course. So what's the newest thing that you learned
in
2024 with your podcasting?
Let's see. Well, I've been actually trying to lean on using an AI a little bit to help me write the, because I write so much other stuff. I write erotica, I'm writing for the podcast. To write also the summaries for the podcast episodes is like another chore. So I've been actually learning to use an AI to help me write summaries. I mean, because, you know, it's just, it does it for you. And so it's kind of like having an assistant that you don't have to pay because it's free.
I wish you had an AI for editing.
Yeah, I know.
AI will cut me shit, all that shit.
Oh, I know. They have some AIs that do a little bit of editing. Like I use Queen Voice AI, and it chops out long spaces and stutters, but it doesn't do it like a human. You know, it's not that good.
But see, it's kind of like we're starting to figure out where AI fits in our shit. You know, I had a long conversation with my man from Blush Erotica. Shouts out to the sponsor. And he talked about, we had a long conversation about AI versus reality and all that, you know, because you got the new technology that's coming out. Especially I saw the Apple headset. Mm-hmm. I still have yet to do the Oculus. I haven't done the virtual reality thing yet. I just haven't got around to it. Have you done it yet?
No, I haven't. But I mean, it looks really cool, so I get why people want to do it, and it seems really realistic. So
I just don't want.
Oh no! Okay, I knocked my phone down.
Oh, it happens. Trust and believe, it happens.
I can't touch anything. That's the problem.
There they go. There go the boobies.
And it was just so good. It was in a good spot. Now I messed it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Stay, phone.
See, the smoke is just enjoying her moving the camera, and we just seen it, you know, the cleavage. So they're entertained regardless. Are you entertained? I'm pretty sure you guys are. So, oh, man. But,
okay. That sort of works. Oh, no!
See, I had to do the same thing with my phone. It was like trying to position it. So I'd be lucky because how I'd be doing, I'd be positioning it on my damn laptop. If I need to.
I spilled my drink too. All right, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna put it on napkins and see if that makes it, because it was slipping around.
Mm.
Maybe if I put on napkins, it's like got some grip. There.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna help.
I think we have it, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, welcome to the Smokers Lounge. What a way to start, don't you say, people? How you doing? I'm Cameron Officer Summer Champ, aka the Porn Rap Star. Y'all know what it is. Find all my links at allmylinks.com/pornrapstar. Two sponsors to tell you people about. First up, the highest adult magazine in the game, eroticismmagazine.com. Go get a subscription today. Also, the next up, award-winning, award-nominated, and they even have an award nominated virtual reality side, and his voice over with his smut. I'm talking about number the blusherocker.com. Also, people, when you get a time, go ahead and subscribe to the Premium Smoke Room over in on loyalfans.com. You know what it is. 5 premium podcasts for you to enjoy. New episodes every week. It gets more candid, it gets more wilder, it gets more crazier. Tits come out, dildos pop out. You don't know unless you subscribe. We also have special events, episodes as well, such as the VIP Smoke Room. And you can even go to the video store and see me in action, you know what I'm saying, for you porn buffs or what have you. So go to the Premium Smoke Room and catch that good premium smoke. Also, we are proud member of the GW District Black Podcasting Network. So go over to shopgwdistrict.com and buy something. Why don't you? Also, I'm on FullSwapRadio.com 5 days out the week in the mornings. Also, I'm on SkyhawkAfterDarkTV.com as well as the BGP LLC app. So, you fellas, the last time she was on the show, it was audio. This time, it's boobies. See? We working. And who knows, we might get to come to the Premium Smoke Room. But either way, she is one of my favorite pod mommies. Friend of the show, smoke buddy, whatever you want to call it. She has a very renowned podcast known as Oh Fuck Yeah, the podcast. And she is a great erotic author. She's also gives you great erotic poetry. And she has a sexy voice. And I've seen the face, fellas. Face match the boobs. It's beautiful. I don't get to see it in this episode. So with that being said, say hello to, I do not want to butcher the name, Roaring Willow. Am I correct?
Ruin Willow. Yep. Ruin Willow.
See, there you go.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here again.
Oh, no. I had to bring you back. I had so much fun. And thank you for hooking me up with that lady.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she came on. It was great, right?
Yes, it was one, I love the accent, and mm-hmm. two, just the conversation we had about releasing your inner slut, and mm-hmm. it's just funny to me, like, cause I've been saying this, having this conversation. She's like, older women, it are more in their prime than what people consider the prime, because it seems like they rediscover their sexuality when they hear a certain age. Yeah. You know, and why do you think is that?
I think that when women hit their midlife, they're just, it's a different focus. You're not as worried about what other people think. you can be more who you are for real, and it's just more, you can be more yourself, and it's okay to do that. I think when we're younger, we're just more concerned with what other people think about us, you know, and like, oh, I should do this or I shouldn't do that. But for me, at least, when I hit middle age in my 40s, I'm like, I just don't care, you know, like, I'm me, and I'm not going to apologize for who I am. And I think a lot of women don't feel that way when they're younger. So I think that just age has a lot to do with it. Age
and maturity. Then even with me, I had to unlearn things. You know, and like one of the things I had to, you know, unlearn was, I'm trying to think because I was such a free thinker to begin with, you know, but it's just relationships.
Yeah.
You know, what monogamy was, what traditional is, and and if you are right for traditional, if you're not right for traditional, you know, period. You know, I was taught that you're supposed to have the wife with the picket fence, with the dog and the kids, you know, and everything. And sometimes life don't fall that way. So what's some of the things that you had to unlearn once you became more sexually free?
I definitely had to unlearn that there was just one way to be that was okay. You know, I think a lot of religion, like you said, it kind of teaches one way to be is the only way to be. And everything else is just deviant and wrong. And so I had to unlearn that. And I had to unlearn that I can be who I am and what I like. And I don't have to be what other people want me to like. You know, like, I'm not their version of me. I'm my version of me. I'm not their version of me. And their version of me is not even going to be accurate, because only version that's accurate is my version of me.
Yeah, because it just feel like, even in this day and age, even more so, because, you know, me and you, I don't know your age or what have, but I know we're somewhat near close. Somewhat. We came from a day and age where we didn't get it like this. We really didn't give a fuck. Versus these motherfuckers, they really give a fuck. You know, period. Because it's kind of like, even when I think about like the conversation of older men, younger women, older women, younger men, it's like that done became such a hot topic when a couple of years ago, that was a hot topic. You get what I'm saying? Why is it such a fucking turn? Because it was like the chick with Drea, well, I can't think of any Drea. I can't remember her first real whole name. But Drea, she got pregnant by an NBA player that is 21 years old. And everyone lost their fucking noodle. You know, period. You had Brittany Riddle, who said she had 34, she'd been with 34 men, and she's in her 40s. You know? Right. So why is it that we went from, oh, we want Miss Parker and Steffler's mom, to, oh God, an age gap or this and third. Why is it such a change now?
I don't know. I think things, it doesn't really make sense. There's always seems to be things are changing, but I don't know. I don't understand the changes and what brings it on either. It just, I don't know. Well, it doesn't make sense to me.
Because even to me, it's like, like I had to comment, I said this on one of my shows, that as you get older, especially as a man,
not fun.
Hey, it's called a smoker's lounge for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
Yeah, true.
There's going to be coughing when it happens. Now, when you get older as a man, dating women in your age bracket, the hurt thins greatly. And a lot of people don't talk about that, you know, period. And I would imagine that would be similar to that of women. So, because I said myself, it seemed like the girls that I attract that I might be looking at to be, you know, saying my friends with benefit, what have you. They all in their late 20s, early 30s. You know, me personally, I would like to have me a lady that's in her 40s. It's just me. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes you can't help what you attract, because within your age bracket may not be attracted to you, or there ain't much there. You get where I'm coming from?
Right.
So what do you think about that?
I think that there shouldn't really be rules. I think that people should be able to hang out with who they want, you know? Like, it shouldn't really matter. I mean, if you're all adults, what difference does it make? But I can understand what you're saying. You want somebody closer to your age because there's just going to be more similarities. There's just, you've been through maybe perhaps similar life experiences. Just there's some different maturity level. I mean, not to you know, bash younger people, but there is a maturity that happens as you age, and that's natural, normal, and the way it should be. And you're just going to see the world a different way than someone who's in their 20s.
Yeah. And see, even to the other point that I was always trying to make with that is, if you want companionship, and it ain't in your age bracket, where else you gonna go?
Right.
You ain't even gonna go up. And once you get to a certain age, there ain't but so much up and you can go. So you're gonna go down.
Right. Yep.
So how many young boys be up on the boobies?
Me? Oh, no, I really don't.
I'm talking about trying to holler at you.
No, I don't really have any youngsters, no. Don't go there.
Oh, my goodness. Now, now, film-wise, I would shoot with a 19-year-old just because film-wise, but,
Big
wise, no. You know, the youngest I can go is, if I went young, 28 at best.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, because it's really, because, like, one of the things they were saying with Drea or older woman is that she knows how to work it.
Right.
And thus can
experience matters. You know your body better too, I feel like. You know, I do anyway. I know my body better and what turns me on and how to pleasure myself way more than I did when I was younger.
Yeah. I mean, because it's kind of like, it like this. The question I ask anybody, do you want somebody that is seasoned or not?
Right.
Some of these men complaining like they want a virgin when they talk about these body counts and shit. You a fucking liar. Stop capping. You want something seasoned.
Right. You want someone who knows. Right. Experience matters.
You don't feel like teaching in that moment.
Right. Exactly. Agreed.
So I'll ask you this. Have you ever been with somebody that you had to teach?
Not really. Because I haven't done, you know, a lot younger. So not really. And I don't remember when
I'm talking about not even younger, just in general. Like, you've been with a dude and he you can tell that, God, well, you really need.
Well, I guess I've done, like, just teaching what I like. Like, this is what I like, you know, that kind of teaching, I guess I would say. Yeah, like, this is what I like. This is the kind of sex toy I like. This is, you know, the kind of pressure I like. This is where to go. This is where to touch. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with you, then where's your hot spot today? Where's the spots that they touch that get you revved up?
Oh, I like my hair touched quite a bit. That's quite a sensual thing for me. My hair, my face, of course, breasts, and I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the breasts got big. Dudes start pushing off the nipples.
Yeah, for sure, nipples. Clit, of course. Now, how could it not be? Absolutely, for sure that. I guess, you know, all those, there's so many good spots. How do you pick? There's so many good spots to touch.
Yeah, because it's like touch, just a gentle rub, and things like, even with me, like if I'm in the bed with a woman, I just love just playing with it, just stroking real gently.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, but once again, it's kind of like when you're older, and I noticed that even with me, it's more about pleasing her than pleasing because that seasoning makes you a better lover.
Yes.
Because now do you understand your body also makes you read the room. You know what I'm saying? With someone mm-hmm. that you will. You know, period. That's why a lot of like I had one number five mom, and shout out to Dory, Ladies Fish Podcast. She's like, nah, I need him to know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, you know, again, experience matters, and you know, where's your focus? I think, you know, when you're younger, maybe the focus is more on yourself, right? And when you're older, maybe it's more on your partner. I don't know. It's a common thing, I think, like you said.
So, I'm gonna ask you this question, and then we're gonna get to the meat of the matter in a minute, fellas. So, when you want to try something new, how you psych yourself up to do it?
Well, you know, as long as your partner is good with it and they're in a good trusting relationship, it's easy to do it. And if you're not in that kind of relationship, it's a lot harder to psych yourself up. But, you know, I think there's different ways to psych yourself up. I mean, you can obviously you can watch porn, you could read erotica, listen to an audio book. Have a glass of wine. I like to have a beverage. Those are definitely good ways to get into trying something new.
So I'm asking this. Will you go back? Okay. Do you go back and listen to your erotic recordings?
On my podcast?
Yeah.
I generally don't. Once I have it edited and live, I generally don't. But I've got quite a few episodes. So I don't go back and listen to them very often, unless I'm turning the erotica fiction into an audio book. Then sometimes mm-hmm. I do re-listen to it because I might have to edit it.
So when you listen to it, right? Because mm-hmm. see, this happened with porn. We watch our porn and we get turned on. So do you get turned on when you listen to your poetry?
I don't know. I guess I see it through a different lens. I get more into it when I'm reading it than when I listen to myself. So for me, it's I get more into it when I'm actually reading it and recording it than I do listening back to myself.
So why do you get more into it with the reading?
I think because I'm feeling it and I'm acting it out. Whereas when I'm just listening, I'm just more passive. I'm just sitting there listening. Not that I'm not getting into it, but I get into it way more when I'm actually reading it and narrating it than when I'm listening. So like when I'm editing an audiobook, I don't get into it as much because I'm listening for all the technical stuff. I need to, you know, get that click out. I need to, you know, fix this word. You know, oh, there's a T sound missing. I need to add the T. So it's really technical when I'm listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. But when I'm narrating it, that's when I really get into it. And I just love to act out the different characters and stuff like that. Like right now I'm doing a Hot Wife series for the author Lacey Cross, and it's been really fun. So we're on the fifth book, and it's the last one. So it's been really fun to do. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. So imagine this. What audio that you did that made you the wettest? Well, you went back and read it. No, not audio. My bad. Read-wise, you read.
Okay.
Made you the wettest?
From my own writing?
From your own writing.
Okay.
And then we'll go to somebody else, but your own first.
I think probably my most extreme book is probably the one, and that's Neighborhood Sex Secrets, which is a little bit too much for some people. but she just did all this kind of, you know, fun, crazy stuff. And I just let myself go wild writing that one. And some people are just like, I can't read it. And some people are like, I love it. And But you have to be open-minded to like it. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, because it's kind of like the one thing I love about authors that can, when you read it, you can taste it, you can smell it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like it allows your imagination to really take hold of it. Right. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like when you about to do your writing, you know, where do your mind go? I know you're writing, you get what I'm saying? But it's like, where do your mind go? Because for you to get to that level to where the reader can damn near have an orgasm. Right. And I'm talking about, you know, in the movie where the girl sitting there reading the book and she touching herself, playing with herself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, where do you take your mind to?
Oh, I don't know. My mind just goes. Like when I'm creating something, I might have like a skeleton idea of what I'm doing, but it kind of just like happens. Like it kind of, so I might, yeah, like I might have a sort of like an outline, but it's kind of like playing in my mind like a movie. And you know, you hear a lot of authors talking about the characters decide things, or the characters tell them what's going to happen. And that's kind of similar to what I'm saying. That to me, it's just like a movie is playing, and I'm just like recording it down, and it's just going. And usually I'm not surprised where it goes, but I'm usually like, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want to happen. I don't have necessarily every little aspect planned out. So it's kind of like a stream of consciousness, you know, that kind of happens. And I can't do it in certain environments. If there's a lot of sound or a lot of, you know, people walking by, sometimes I can. If I'm in a place that maybe I can zone out, like, sometimes I can, but most of the time I don't want a lot of like sound or movement, because then it pulls me out of what I'm doing.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure you want to be in a quiet spot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, pretty. Yeah. Do you play any music? I mean, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Or play music before you get into writing. What is your pre-writing ritual?
I don't necessarily have one, but I can't be hungry. Like, if I'm hungry, I can't think. I'm one of those
people. Sound like a Snickers commercial. You might need Snickers.
I'm going to be useless if I'm hungry. So I for sure have to be not hungry to write and be able to think. Otherwise, my brain doesn't work. So I guess that's probably my only thing I can think of. I can't be hungry, and I need to be comfortable. You know, I can't be uncomfortable. Otherwise, I'm going to be thinking about that I'm not comfortable, and that I won't be thinking about what I'm writing or being creative.
Yeah, because I know, because I used to write poetry a little bit back in the day when I was in high school, whatever. Mm-hmm. Apparently, if you want to be technical about it, rap is poetry, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it's like I had to, especially with like when you write to music, you had to sit there and listen to the beat over and over again. Mm-hmm. Had the TV cut off, door closed. I might have a blunt lit, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know, things in the atmosphere that you have to get yourself in the mood for the job at hand.
Right. And, you know, sometimes poetry is a little bit like a song, too. Like, if you have a rhythm in the, you know, with the words and the way the words play together, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, words is just as strong as, reading words is just as strong as hearing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm going to ask you this. It's why is it that women are able to get off on books, but men, we need visual?
I know, that is interesting. But I do have fans that are men who get my work and buy my stuff and listen to my podcast that isn't visual. But yeah, you're right. It is. Men tend to be more visual. And I don't really know.
But I mean, but they listen to the podcast. Y'all can get off on reading a book. You get what I'm saying, like.
Right. Audio's different. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. I don't know. Maybe women. I don't know, maybe we can immerse ourselves in the story better. I'm not really sure what the difference is. I don't know if it's just the way our brains are wired or I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not really sure I know the answer.
I think that men, we are visual, but ladies are more spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you think about it, you're reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
So even with audio, even though we use our imagination, I'm still hearing the voice.
True.
You ladies have to create the voice,
mm-hmm.
the person,
true.
The scenario, all this would be in the middle without no visual or audio around you. You get where I'm coming from?
Right. That's
so
true.
It's kind of like, you know, period. I mean, trust me, I don't think a dude can sit and read a book and jerk off. Now, he can look at a magazine.
We can look at a picture. I've had men say they do, though.
You know?
I've had men say they've gotten off to my writing, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess.
I mean, don't get it twisted. There's always exceptions to the rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, period. There's always anomalies. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you don't get it twisted. But on a whole,
right.
99.9 he, the only way, even to the point where he even had to, like I said, it's we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with y'all read, y'all can imagine a dude and he might not be on the cover of the book. You get what I'm coming from?
Yeah.
You know, period.
Yep.
It's like, you know, that's why I find that kind of just fascinating.
It is fascinating. You're right. Maybe it's the difference between our brains. I don't know. That's quite the question. I don't know.
See, I ask good questions, don't I, Smoke?
That is the big question of the universe, right? One of them.
So shoot, so when you get turned on, what do you touch first? Your boobies or below?
Below, for sure. Like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. I always call myself, and I say this on the podcast sometimes, I'm a clit junkie. That's what I am.
She said she touched the thighs. Ooh. See, me, I want to see her touch the boobies. But I'm just messing. Mm-hmm. Just messing. So now,
well,
now
I do like that, though, too. Yeah, it's not like I don't.
Oh. Mm. I don't get it. I love boobies. I love giving hugs.
Yep.
Yeah. maybe we can do it one day, get together, do a Janet Jackson type, you know, photo shoot, you know what I'm saying? You had your face turned up with your face covered and shit, you know, holding the boobs, you got your hands in the air, you know what I'm saying? Face kind of, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
An accidental show.
Yeah, because I ain't gonna front, I'm enjoying the cleavage. It feel good because sometimes you be just looking at the boobs, you be feeling bad. I be feeling bad, but like, I hope you don't notice that I'm looking at boobs.
Yep, there's no eyes up here right now.
You have a
there
beautiful
is no set. Up here.
Oh my God, you have a very beautiful set, though. Very beautiful. I told you. So now that I got her warmed up, now it's time to do some podcasting. So are you ready, Mama?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, sex addiction is serious, regardless of what I think. But I had an interesting scenario that was brought up while listening to a podcast that I thought it would be fun for us to discuss. Now, normally when you hear sex addiction, it's tied to a dude cheating and he's saying that he's a sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
So, to you, before I ask this, what is your thoughts on sex addiction?
Well, I've actually had several people on my podcast who are either authors or therapists or somehow they're sort of sexperts in the world of sexuality. And they claim that there really is no such thing as a sex addiction. Really what it is there's just a gradient of libido. And that sex addiction doesn't really exist. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective that they brought on to the show. I've had multiple people say that to me, that there really just is no such thing. There's just a gradient of high down to low. And I don't know.
Before I go into the question, right? My personal feelings aligns with theirs.
You're aligned with them.
I'm sorry. Until you have robbed a bank for pussy, you're not an addict.
Right.
I'm sorry. Unless you stole your grandmama's TV and pawned that bitch.
Right.
I don't think tricks the escorts do that. So.
Well, and one person even said it can't be an addiction because it's not a chemical. Like, the true definition of an addiction has to be about a chemical. Yeah. And sex, I mean, yes, you have, you know, hormones and stuff in your brain, but you're not like taking it like a pill or alcohol or smoking it. It's not something external. So addiction, they were saying, has to be something that's external that you're abusing or using. Otherwise, addiction doesn't apply to something that's within your body already naturally, you know?
I mean, because it's like this. This is what I believe. There are people that have very high sex drives.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Right. They love to fuck. They get off on the nut, you know, right. Period. Yep. It's not an addiction. It's, they love sex. I mean, right. That's how I look at it, because like I said before, when you think of addiction, that means it changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go without it. You can't. It destroys. You lose jobs and this, that, and the third. I never heard no dude losing a job because of a sex addiction. Now, anybody right. lost a job because his dumbass was deciding to look at some porn while he was at the job.
Right, but that's a different thing. That was a choice. They made a choice there.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't get it twisted. Yeah. I mean. You know, I know you're saying, well, you know, that's no different than he went in the bathroom and sniffed some coke and stuff. See, once again, he's sniffing coke,
right.
Which is a complete chemical
right.
that creates an addiction.
Right.
But I don't want to hear about stimuli, none of that bullshit. That's bullshit. Right. Sex addiction was made up because a dude got caught cheating and was a repeat offender and said, I'm addicted to sex.
Right. Hey, like, and it's an excuse, right? Yeah. But, you know, and I think that people who don't like sex probably haven't been pleasured properly, or maybe they haven't even ever climaxed. Because I recently saw something on Instagram that was talking about how high it is that, you know, there's possibly even 15% of women alive today have never climaxed even once.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what did they say? And then I think half of women, or even 60%, don't climax when they have sex with their partner. Yeah. So to me, that says they're not getting the right stimulation. So of course they're going to have a lower libido because they're not enjoying themselves. Do you want to do something you don't really enjoy? If you're not climaxing, I can see why you have a low sex drive.
It's funny because it's, we're going to get to the question in a minute because this is a little bit more fun of it right now. To me, I think it's because it's two things to me. One, people are stuck on what is called traditional sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the sex, is the mentality and mind state.
Yes, agreed.
And traditional sex is the man get his, who cares?
Right. Right.
Think about it, people. Look at it. Doggy style. What's the one position that's always done? It, the wife will be like, just go ahead and get it over with. But doggy style.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What most men's favorite position? Doggy style.
Right.
Most women, what they say with doggy style is because you were told that, or you was mostly fucked like that, or that's when you felt like that's when he was really enjoying the pussy the best.
Right. I know a lot of women who do like doggy style, but yeah, it's not. It might send some sensations there, but there's no, unless you're doing it on purpose, there's no direct hit to the clit. Internally there is, obviously, but not on the outside, unless you're purposely putting a hand there or a toy there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's just, and it's also the traditional, let me get mine.
Right. Mm-hmm. The selfishness, right.
You know what I'm saying? It being selfish, because it's about the man. Right. So
she might want to just get it over with, right? She might be like, hurry up and just do it. You know?
Yeah. And then as the marriage, as the years grow, it becomes maintenance sex. Mm-hmm. See, it's so it's kind of like that's that traditional shit, you know, period. Right. So it ain't, and it's supposed to go less.
Right.
So that's problem number one. It's kind of like, we still, it's like people want to act like it's a new age, but at the same token, y'all want to still keep it like it was back in the day with Lucy and Desi, where right. Motherfuckers slept in separate beds.
Right.
You know, that's why I think why the sex, because it, now the other spectrum is he looks at porn and he thinks that's what women want.
Right. Right. That's the problem, because we don't have great education, right? And not that you can't learn something from porn or get an idea from it. I think you can, but it isn't really necessarily meant to be education. It's entertainment. And so people are using it as education, like, okay, this is what all women like, right?
See, I think in this day and age, from different ages, women are taking more of the lead in the bedroom.
Right.
You know, right. Period, because I mean, it's kind of like y'all finally said, look, let me show you. Let me point you in the right direction, sir, because right. You're missing the spot totally. I mean,
right. Wait, for women, the spot isn't big, it is small, right? I mean, we do have the internal clit too, but. On the outside, it is small. I mean, some women, it's as small as a grain of rice. That's pretty small to be hitting the right spot all the time, unless you have instruction or help or a sex toy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a small on the, you know, on the, I've heard some women, you know, one person I had on said the different sizes are like a kernel of corn down to a grain of rice. On the external part. That's a pretty small little spot, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, I was, excuse me. And I ain't coughing about it because I'm about to say this. I was coughing because I was getting choked. I heard that curved dicks hit the spot more frequently than straight dicks.
Yeah. Well, and you see, you know, I have, and if you're thinking even about dildos, you have a curved dildo, and I myself, yeah, I like curved dildos, probably better than straight, because yeah, it will more curve into that internal clit, because you know the clit is something that is a little bean on the outside, but then it extends onto the inside, and so it's most likely gonna hit it if it's curved, if the internal clit, the G spot, whatever you want to refer to it as, but yeah.
Yeah, because the whole point of it is that that's the reason why you stir like motherfucking coffee. Because see, once again, when we go back to the experience, you learn to read the room because the signs are there. The female will always tell a guy. He just got to pay attention. That's why you can't be all about you getting your nut. Because once you get to say, ooh,
right.
You have a full undivided attention.
Right. So what's the statistics? 90% of women do not come unless their clit is involved.
Yeah.
So for penetrative sex, unless there's some sort of action on the clit, 90% of women are not going to come from penetration alone. Yeah. That's pretty high.
Oh no, because my favorite thing is to have a girl missionary and I'm just playing with her, playing with a click.
Yeah, and the missionary is more likely to hit that area too, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, just physics of it, you know.
But see, also riding.
Mm-hmm. Variety.
Riding. Mm-hmm. You know, because one enables you to control, mm-hmm. and you're able to position yourself to get it. You know, because if you want to be honest, out of all the positions, the ride positions, y'all have the most control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're a dude like me, like to pump it back every now and then.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
You know, period. So, are you one that rides?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She said, oh, yeah, for sure.
I like lots of different positions. I'm not stuck on any one.
Okay, so what's your favorite? Reverse cowgirl, cowgirl.
I think I like cowgirl better than reverse. But you know, reverse isn't bad. It's just more can happen if you're facing them. You know, you've got you can have hands on the breasts and nipples and stuff like that. You could lean down and kiss. Whereas if you're reverse, you can't do that.
See, sometimes some of your partners like the reverse cowgirl because you got that butt.
Right. Well, that is a thing that people like for sure. Reverse works good for that. And it's definitely a thing for people that enjoy the ass. Right. Yeah, for sure.
No doubt. So let's get back on track. So let's pretend that, well, for the people that feel, and that they is such thing. Your mate comes to you and says they have a sex addiction. And let's say you take the shit serious. If you choose to stay with this person, he you know what I'm saying? How do you cope with it? How do you deal with it? You know what I'm saying? Would you deal with it?
Right. Well, and I think it depends too on what they're defining as what they're thinking that the addiction is. Is it just climaxing and masturbation, or is it sleeping with other people? So like if they're doing masturbation and you just don't want to join in, then just be like, okay, go do your own thing. I'm not into it right now, and just let them go do their own thing. Mm-hmm. But if they're sleeping around with other people and you don't like it, that's a problem because it's just not unless you're both on board with that. You know, number one, you worry about getting diseases. Number two, just the emotional impact of that. So if you're not in it together, so I guess that would be my first question, is what is their definition of sex addiction? Is it just climaxing, you know, masturbating, or is it being with other people?
Mm. See, that's
harder to accept one over the other.
That is deep. So you already answered it. Well, I guess you answered kind of both. Well, to me, I'm going to ask you this. Would you try to keep up to where it's helped his addiction?
I would, as far as I felt like I wanted to. Like, if I felt like I was being coerced or forced, then it wouldn't be fun anymore, right? So I'd have to feel like it was something that I wanted to do. Otherwise, it would take all the fun out of it. You know, it's nice to help someone have a climax. I mean, that's fun, of course. Everybody wants to have a partner that's climaxing. That's fun. that's sexy, that's hot. But if you're feeling coerced, then, or forced into it, then it's a total different story.
See, my concern would be this. The first time I say, I ain't up to it right now. For whatever reason it might be, you know what I'm saying? I might be in the middle of a podcast. She's so fucking on, she want to come give me head while I'm doing. I'm like, oh, whoa. Wait a second, boo. You feel what I'm saying? So that would be my, you know, concern. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Timing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one time I say, not right now, or I'm not feeling it today, or I'm not up to it today, is that going to make that person jump and cheat? Understand, y'all know I'm a devil's advocate. Come on, y'all know who I am. Bring back pictures. I want to see it. But go
that's
ahead.
Kind of a form of coercion, though. If you feel like you have to do it or they're going to go to someone else, that mm-hmm. really is a form of coercion and manipulation.
Yeah. I mean, because to me, it's like, me personally, if I dated someone that had that, I know I could probably keep up. It ain't even a big deal because I'm a nympho anyway. But like I said, but for people that couldn't, you know, how can I put this? I'm pretty sure they'll probably want to leave, what have you. But my thing of it is it'll be hard as fuck for anyone to come. Let's just keep it real. It'll be hard as fuck for anyone to really come forward is to have a sex addiction. Without the female, I'm talking about the men, but even with the men, right? What the fuck?
Yeah.
It was like, I thought you were gonna say crack or
something.
but seriously, I'm trying to find a way I want to go with this. It's like, if it's an addiction, how understanding could you be?
Right. I mean, I think I could be understanding because I understand myself what it's like to want to climax and enjoy that. So that's probably what I would be thinking about. I guess I would try to find a way to make it work. You know, it may be difficult, but maybe there's other things that the person who doesn't feel like they have the addiction, maybe they're not getting what they need and what they want, so they don't want to have as much sex. Maybe it's a conversation of, hey, what can we change to get you interested in doing it more, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can we change something or do something to incite you to want to have more sex?
Yeah, because, which is funny because most men, a lot of married men sit there and say they wish they had more sex.
Right.
But when you get what you ask for, but I think if it came out to it, it's one, the conversation of should they look into a poly or swinger lifestyle, because especially if they want to stay together,
right,
because if that truly is the addiction, and just funny to say addiction. I'm sorry, I don't nobody, please don't counsel me.
Right.
But I'm sorry, I'm addicted to fucking. Right. I think that's the world. That's majority of celebrities, you know what I'm saying? Swingers, poly, shit, hell. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. If both partners are into it, then why not, you know?
You know, because even to the point, but see, the thing of it is if they go that route, I feel it had to be a balance where the option for the other one can definitely do it.
Right.
Because the sex addiction dude can't sit there and say, well, no, you can't fuck nobody. No, you can't fuck nobody. No, you can't. Motherfucker, what?
Hey,
now you got addiction. And telling her she can't get. if it, most addicts be like, oh, baby, you want to do the crack too? Yeah. Come on, shit. Come on. You know, what you want to fuck something? Oh, we can fuck together? Oh, you know, but now imagine this. Why do you think people, and men and women have done this, when they get caught cheating, why they go with the sex addiction scenario?
Because they think that they can shift the blame, maybe, off of themselves and be like, well, this is an illness, an addiction. There's nothing I can do about it. Mm. You know, it's an easy out, perhaps.
Now, I'll ask you this because something else you brought up. Does it make it more of an addiction if he's jerking off or if he's fucking somebody?
Yeah, that's a good question because, I mean...
Because every time we hear about sex addiction and you see it in the movies and on the TV shows and people talk about it, it's dudes and women fucking dudes and women, right? You know,
right, not necessarily masturbating, right?
Not necessarily masturbating. So, my question is, wouldn't the masturbation make it more of an addiction than them fucking another person? Or then, if that's the case, if the whole thing is the euphoria of a nut and this and third, let's keep it 100. What's better than your hand? Pussy.
Right.
I don't know about ladies, but I know a good stiff dick attached to a body is better than an unattached one, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah, because there's interaction. But yeah, so it's clearly not just the fact of climaxing, because if they are wanting to be, they want the variety, perhaps, of other women, or just the feeling, like, yeah, you said, of being a pussy. So it's not just the fact of them climaxing, because if it were, then masturbation would appease their so-called addiction.
Yeah, because you just want the nut, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, period. Yeah, we can go deep as hell on this shit, because these questions I always been wanting to ask, I've been wanting to ask and ask myself, like, wait a second, but it, okay. If he's fucking somebody else, is that addiction? Okay, where's we doing a combination? Like, he's just in the parking lot jerking off.
Right.
Then he fucks somebody and then he jerks off again. Right. Does that make him an addict? I don't know, because, you know, sometimes that fuck wasn't enough.
Right. I mean, you know, you like the feeling. Well, you get what, like, dopamine boosts when you climax. So you are getting a little bit of a natural fix, right? You're getting those natural sexual hormones that make you feel awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a natural internal thing. It's not like taking a drug, an external drug. You're using your own body to bring your joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it. Like I said, I just think someone made up sex addiction just to, like you said, shift the blame. Because to me, like I said, I don't see how sex is an addiction.
Right, when
that is a natural thing. You get what I'm saying? It's some people shit more than others.
It's I know, natural. Right? Doesn't mean they're addicted to taking a shit. Just tell your body is.
You're addicted to going to the toilet. You're a shit addict.
That's one I have not heard yet. A shit addict.
Oh, no. I hope I didn't predict something next thing you know. Yes, I'm a shit addict. I take X-Lax so I can shit all the time. I just wear a diaper so terrible. I can work and shit. But like, what the fuck?
Sounds horrible.
I mean, it is, what is it? there's people that do have, like, I mean, I used to watch the TV show, what was it, Extreme Addictions or Extreme, where, you know, I mean, some crazy shit with a motherfucker with eating rocks or some crazy shit. I'm like,
weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird. It's not good for none of your intestines. I'm pretty sure you. Ooh, that's a hard shit. Yeah. Enough about shit. This ain't no episode about scat. So, but like I said, I mean, if a woman came to me and told me that, like I said, I mean, even before I got into porn, even before I knew what poly was and all that, because I knew, because let's be real, coming up, we didn't know nothing about that poly.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this, pansexual, none of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any of that stuff, you know, period. You know, I love talking to people in my age bracket, because like I said, it was bisexual, heterosexual, gay/lesbian. That was it.
Right.
It was,
there's not all these alphabets.
They weren't no alphabets, actually. There was
right.
No alphabets back then. Nope. LBGTQ came, T-I.
Right.
Yeah, because I had to take a little thing from my damn job about that shit. I was like, damn.
I have a plus at the end, right?
They got one I didn't know about. I said, wait a second. When this one
comes? All the extras, plus everything I can think of, extra.
I just call it the community.
Yep.
There you go. Because y'all, we are a community. Come on for you.
Yeah.
Okay. But like I said, I think. Like I said, if a woman came to me with that, I'd be like, well, I guess we swing.
Right.
But I just found that interesting because I know one of the podcasts said, she was like, I worked through it with him and this, that, and third. But then I thought about it in the early episode. She did say she'd be down for doing poly. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that means people that does poly are sex addicts. Swingers are sex addicts.
Everyone's a sex addict.
Everyone's a sex addict. She's a sex addict, and she writes about it. There you go.
I think about it all day long.
That's all. I mean, to me, like I said, some of the stuff that we have to label shit. That's just how humans are.
Mm-hmm. True.
Just have to put a label on it.
It does happen.
And half the time, labor don't work right. So there you go.
Right.
So I really enjoyed you, gorgeous.
Yeah, I had a blast. I always have fun talking to you. It was fun.
I'm always love talking to my pod mommies because it's good to talk to other podcasters, especially in our genre, you know, period and everything. Sure. Shoot, I mean, next time I have your butt on here, you got to read something.
Oh, yeah.
You got to read something, because I haven't had people do poetry on here. How the hell am I going to have her read at least one of her short stories?
Right.
So, see, there you go. So, with that being said, Miss Sexy Widow, tell everybody where they can listen to you, spend money, and all that good stuff.
Well, my podcast is Oh Fuck Yeah with Rue and Willow, and it's on all the podcast apps. I'm on YouTube as Rue and Willow Podcaster. All of my books are on Amazon, Audible. I have audiobooks, erotic audiobooks, and ebooks, and even paperbacks. All the sellers online, Kobo, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Apple, Google Play. Spotify is another place now that I have a lot of audiobooks, which is really fun to have audiobooks right on Spotify. That's another good place to find my book. So any check it, Smashwords, and check online. I'm on most of the online sellers. So yeah, and I just released The Sugar Daddies. That one just went live in ebook and in audiobook. So that's one of my most recent releases.
Well, people, y'all go check out her stuff.
I have an exciting thing, too. I got 3 books nominated for the Golden Pigtails, which is a
Hold on, before we go any further, okay, first of all, just my podcast is getting wonderful. I was nominated. I'm having people that was nominated when the awards come on the show. We got another nominated podcast. Tell us about the award. What is it?
Congratulations on your being nominated. That's awesome. So mine was for the Golden Pigtails, which is for erotica and erotic audiobooks and just erotic writing in general. So I had 3 books nominated, and I just found out today that one of them, I made it to the finals. So Dressing Room Dom is actually a lesbian story. That one I made it into the finals. So people can go vote for me as Golden Pigtails, and they can vote for Dressing Room Dom. And who knows, maybe I'll win the finals. I don't know. It's just fun to be in it, and I'm honored that I am with all these other amazing authors. And I'm excited to, I was in the semifinals, and now I'm in the finals with Dressing Room Dom. So that's fun.
Damn, it's... Yeah, because I saw that, it was like, now go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm really excited too, because that audiobook, do you know who Ray Richmond is?
Who again?
Ray Richmond. She's a 56-year-old woman who just started doing OnlyFans, and she's way in the top. She's amazing. And she just started doing OnlyFans at 56, but she's going to narrate one of the characters for me, one of the women. I'm going to do it, and she's going to do it. So we're both going to be in the book together. So I'm really excited about that. When the audiobook comes out. Right now, I'm nominated for the ebook. So.
That is amazing. You know, because it's like this. I was talking about it. I didn't talk about it before. Things that give you affirmation, that let you know you're on the right path.
Right.
You're moving forward. You know, I mean, how much of affirmation this award nomination gave you? I know the AVN award nomination gave me a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's an honor for someone to nominate you. I mean, that's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, shit, well, you know, I will be voting. You need to send me that link.
I will.
and hopefully you'll be nominated for AVN Podcast Award next year.
Someday. Never know, right? Yeah. You never know.
This is the crazy part. I did not, they had prenoms. I did not post a prenom. Well, actually, I did one vote, just one. I did not think I was going to get nominated, wasn't expecting to get nominated. And someone told me I got nominated.
Aww, that's so awesome.
I was like, stop playing. And then, of course, we couldn't find the link. They took it down. Then eventually put it up. I verified it. The point what I'm saying is to you, you never know. Like, you didn't think, I don't think you went into this year thinking you're going to be nominated for that award. You feel me? I know that was wow.
That's awesome. So, I know. Yes.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
And that cleavage.
Yes, I've definitely got that.
Oh, yes. She even gave y'all some touching, fellas. So, you know what it is, people. Once again, go to loyalfans.com and subscribe. The link is in the description. Subscribe to the Premium Smoke Room. You know what it is. Special event episodes, 5 podcasts, more candid, more wild. You know how it gets down up in there. And like I said, we're not on Spotify, so you know it gets down even crazier. And for my people that's on Spotify, I still got a subscription side. That side is known as the Savage Smoke, where I talk to the male times of our business, and it's the reason why we call it Savage Smoke. You just need to subscribe to find out. So with that being said, you know how we end these things all day, every day. Life is a learning experience. What's the point of the experience if you haven't learned anything? Smoke this over. Say goodbye to them, baby girl.
Goodbye.